Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Adam Cool, Dr. Drew.
I'm not modeling anymore for the two of you.
Loveline.
Yep, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, our guest is old friend Chris Hardwick. Of course, you know from Single
Dad. What is he doing?
What is Chris Hardwick doing?
It sounds like he's like turning some sort of beast and he's breathing into the mic.
That could be me.
Oh, my God.
I'm a little out of breath, Drew. Settle down. I'm excited to be here.
Okay.
You know me.
I decided, by the way, now that you are so tired of the show, Adam, Hardwick's just going to take your place permanently.
Fine. We can start in 10 minutes. I'll just pack up my chair and leave. Chris is here. He's promoting, amongst other things, Art House, which is an independent film that is distributed and released at the Hollywood video chain. And I shouldn't say distributed, but at least exclusively at the Hollywood video chain, which is a large nationwide chain, and you should have one near you.
You make it sound so pleasant.
I know. And how does this work? I've never, well, maybe I have heard of it, but it's unusual that movies go to the video store. I mean, usually they get released and they go to the video store, or if they do go to the video store, it's not an exclusive thing.
Well, Hollywood Video has, oh, I'm sorry, Drew. I just got to remember when Adam told Heather Graham that Boogie Nights would go straight to the video store. Remember that? Is that why she broke up with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Hollywood Video has a program called First Rights, and effectively they gather up independent films and then release them exclusively for 6 months, and then, you know, so it's, so it was like an independent film that I did with some friends of mine, and that was that.
Well, it's called Art House, and I happen to be in it as well, even though I've never seen it.
I'm not the only person promoting something, huh? You capitalist.
That's right. And if you take a look at Chris's bio here, or at least the bio in Art House by our good friends over at Bragman, Nyman, and Camporelli, who always get things right. It says Ray Hardwick is an independent filmmaker.
Not my character at all, actually.
When he's not making lattes at the coffee shop.
I never did that.
He hooks up with Weston Craig, parentheses, Carolla.
Not you.
To make the Art House film of their dreams. And I was thinking to myself, wow, I had one scene in this film.
You know, at least I got the title right, and that's really all that matters, isn't it?
All right. So you're Weston Craig.
Right.
Not me.
No.
No. No.
Turns out, no.
Who am I?
Your character is a cool guy.
Cool guy.
The guy with all the answers.
That's cool guy. Right.
Did you read the script?
Well, here's what happened, as I recall. But you correct me if I'm wrong about this, Chris. We shot this thing in Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
We shot it on a very small sort of studio soundstage type place in Burbank, right in the heart of the sort of industrial area. And in
the scenic area.
The dog days of summer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it must have been July or August. It was a good 111 degrees outside. And you know how whenever I shoot something, Drew, it's exquisitely hot?
Whenever you work at all.
Right. This was the hottest I've ever been in. It was lights and a small stage and a small set, and it was hotter than the hubs of hell. I don't know what the hell I was wearing, but my whole one scene was just a rant, and I had to stop every 5 minutes, go put my head by the air conditioner, mop my brow off, and then go back and try it again. Now, Chris, who contacted me to do this part just a couple days earlier, said, don't worry about the script. Don't worry about the sides. It's just a couple pieces of dialogue.
Pretty much the whole attitude we had.
Come on in and hang out. And then I showed up, and it's true there was one piece of dialogue, but it was almost an entire page covered with words.
But we knew you would bring that bit of Carolian magic.
There was no way.
I like that. Thank you.
I was going to memorize any of it. So I got the sort of general gist of it and remember just sort of winging a rant.
Well, fortunately,
blah, 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 blah.
Fortunately, you're not hairy, so you weren't that hot.
Oh, I was hot.
Mm-hmm.
I was hot, and thanks for that, because I am covered with hair.
Yeah, I've had kind of a surreal experience today at Times Square seeing a 50-foot rendition of your image on a, you know how they have those videos, those movies playing on Times Square now?
Yeah. You ask
it again, Drew? No. They had a politically correct commercial. Me and Jimmy and Adam were in this commercial.
Really?
Yeah.
On that big Jumbotron thing?
The huge screen.
Me, you, and Jimmy Kimmel were in this commercial?
Yes. Yes.
Me, you, and Jimmy have never been on PI at the same time.
I know. It was you and Jimmy started they have a little montage of like 8 or 10 guests.
Right.
You and Jimmy started it, and then I was at the end of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And did you know it was coming up, or were you just sort of walking around?
I was at the MTV studios and looking across the way, and I thought it was a pretty correct commercial. And then you guys came up. I was like, wow, that's surreal.
And then
that was even more bizarre.
They let you into the MTV studio?
This is a long story.
That's actually me that they don't let in.
No, they don't let us in either. Drew, why did they let you in?
Carson didn't help me out.
Well, I see.
As long as he okayed it.
All right. Well, you know, he's the young, hot kid. Well, don't worry. He's coming down with us.
Faggot better run.
That's right.
What did you say?
Nothing.
I said faggot better run, and he's right. All right, so you can go down to the Hollywood Video and get this fabulous art house film. I'm going to fast forward to my scene. How far into the movie am I, Chris?
You appear sporadically. How about that?
I do.
It's another one of those things.
Oh, my God.
Well, if Adam would really just focus more on his acting career, which I know is very important to him, he'd be getting the big roles in film, but they offer and he just pushes it aside because he doesn't care.
That's right. Very aloof. Nick?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're 17. What's up?
Hey, nothing much. Hey, Adam, this question's for you.
For me?
Yeah.
All right.
No, you're the masturbation king.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, does the well ever go dry?
Not as far as I know.
For Adam particularly, or for any human? Adam has special powers, you see.
That's right.
Yeah, for an average guy.
Well, you mean, does it ever go dry in a lifetime, or does it ever go dry on, you know, let's say number four or number five?
Well, can I, like, do what I, would there be a chance that I masturbate so much that, I wouldn't be able to orgasm, like, when I'm 25?
No. Dust and cobwebs come out, or you expel a testicle or something along those lines?
Right. Let's see. What are my stages? Well, something will come out in the first two or three. Then the next one, confetti comes out, I believe. Then that stick with the bang flag on the end of it, that sort of novelty pop gun.
Yeah.
Then that talcum, or at least what appears to be talcum powder, comes out of there. Could be dried something else. And then a ghost comes out and just circles around the room. His mouth opens real big and goes over the camera. And
that's a very masturbatory Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Out the chimney, and then my soul, which is the, I think, eighth or ninth thing that comes out.
But you can run dry on a single sort of day.
Yeah.
But you're not going to run dry for a lifetime, okay?
Oh. All right.
All right, everyone has a finite number of masturbatory experiences, and once you pass that point, people just have to understand that it doesn't.
No, you don't run out of seed.
Oh, okay.
But Adam,
yes,
I was thinking. You've got me thinking all day now about the things I'd like to see from the 70s.
Yes.
You know, want to fill Chris in on this? I thought of something.
Well, I've talked from time to time about things I miss from TV and movies, gags like such as souffle humor, where in the first act, Alice is baking a souffle in the oven, and Greg comes in and slams the door, and she runs over to look, and it hasn't dropped yet.
Right.
But in the very last act, a car backfires,
and
the thing falls down. Souffle humor. Getting in an argument with your roommate, putting a white line down the middle of the apartment and splitting it in half.
Yep.
That's good humor.
Well, there's always you're leaving out the sex misunderstanding, where someone overhears something in another room and mistakes it as sex, but they're really trying to fit a salami into the fridge or something.
Right, yeah. What they're doing is the plumber's over there, and he's going, yeah, I'm going to clean those pipes out. I better get my snake out and give it a good ream.
I always wanted to hear like the plumber come out and Mr. Ober say, oh, what were you doing, working on the plumbing? No, I was screwing your wife in the other room.
I was cornholing your wife.
I have a much simpler one. You don't ever see the ads or the sort of excited individual jumping in the air and clicking his heels.
Yeah, that is gone.
That's gone.
Yeah, I don't even know, and that wasn't something that, well, maybe Chaplin brought that to everyone's attention in the 20s or the 30s. But
it became an advertising sort of
lexicon of the 70s.
Yeah, it did, and that's gone now.
I guess there's no good Hitler spoofs anymore either.
Well, I'm working hard on one. I can't talk about it. Drew, who do you want to talk to?
Let me get this up here. Hold on. There.
Justin.
Yes.
You're 16. What's up?
Like, for the past, I don't know, 2 months, I've been fantasizing about, you know, having oral sex with girls, me giving it to them.
Wow, that's low self-esteem.
And what's your concerns?
And I was just wondering, you know, I used to not, you know, I used to never to ever do it, you know, because I always, you know, smoke, like, I guess I smoke a lot of weed and stuff.
Right.
I'll take the wind out of your sails.
Yeah, and then...
What's you smoking weed have to do with not giving oral sex?
Well, I don't know. It just made me never ever think about doing anything. And then all of a sudden I quit, and now, you know, I was like, you know, I used to think it was gross. Stuff. No,
Justin is a case study of one, but it does have interesting implications for why the Jamaicans don't like doing this so much, which is true, they don't. But
well, it's really just black guys and
brothers don't like to go down. But white guys on hand.
No, Jamaicans particularly. Really, I've talked to some and just think, woof. But Justin is a case study of one whereby.
It's not just seeing Drew go up to a Jamaican in a bar and go, "Do you enjoy going down on your own?"
No. We've over the years, I've talked to a few reggae artists, and they all confirmed that that's a Jamaican cultural.
I don't think they can fit down there with that hair.
Is that why Maxi Priest got up and left when I was hosting the show that time?
Were you the one that was in there?
I was hosting the show that night.
Remember I was talking?
It was Maxi Priest and Shaggy, and he got mad and left
because I was talking to Shaggy. Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't paying him maximum respect or something.
I don't think we pointed out to Justin that he's 16, and so probably previous denial has not really, maybe he wouldn't have had an active sexual mindset fantasy. But it really case study one for how much marijuana suppresses libido, and it sure can. So there you go.
All right, let's go on and speak to sir, Isabel. Isabel.
Yes.
You're 23.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Are you drunk?
No.
All right, what's up?
I have a question. First of all, I have to say you guys are cool. Way cool.
Thank you.
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
You're 23, Isabel?
Yes. Everyone says I sound like I'm 10.
Yeah, that means something to us. Go ahead.
I have a question about breast reduction.
All right.
Is it a major procedure, and is there a big scar or...
It is a significant surgery. It requires general anesthesia, and it does cause a scarring, basically an inverted T going down from the nipple and then under the breast. The women that really want this procedure don't seem to be terribly bothered by the scar, but there is a scar.
There is.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any other effects as to, like, maybe like later on having kids and wanting to breastfeed or anything like that?
Not aware of.
How?
It's just the fact that they...
How large are your breasts?
34 double D.
Oh, that 34. See, that's a good combo.
Nice rack.
What you're looking for is the low first number. See, I have to explain this to the listeners all the time because they think, you know,
they're making comments.
They think 38 double D, 40 double D. They think that's good, but all that means is a lot of back and lat and shoulders. Yeah. You want the low first number, 34. And then the down the alphabet.
Particularly if you're trying to cultivate scoliosis later in life.
Right. Yeah. So 34 double D is a nice combo. Are you a petite gal?
Yeah, I weigh about 105.
Oh, my goodness.
Adam.
Yeah.
Settle down, boy.
Hold on. You're talking to my parents?
Put that away, please.
Are you done, Adam?
No, I'm not done. I'm just getting started. What city do you live in?
Rancho Cucamonga.
Rancho Cucamonga?
It's kind of a haul, but you can make it by two.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you, about an hour away?
About.
All right. Well, you really should have an evaluation by an expert.
Well, Isabel, did something happen to you when you were 10? Is that why the voice thing we're noticing?
No, I have no idea why I sound like that.
You're a small person. Okay.
Why do you want the reduction?
Because I've become, like, very self-conscious about my body to where I'm obsessively working out and just wanting to not get bigger. Because I used to be heavy. So when I've lost weight, I kind of went down a little bit.
Right.
In my chest. So I figure, like, if I can just lose weight and just stay, then maybe I'll feel better.
Yeah, but you're 105. I mean, didn't you say you're 105?
Yeah.
5'3"?
I'm 5'1".
I'm 5'1", 105. Yeah.
You have anorexia?
I've kind of developed a problem with it a little bit.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, here's the deal. The surgery generally, sort of a threshold for the surgery would definitely be physical problems, neck, back, deep sprawl, strap groove, shoulder problems, that sort of thing. But in your case, we keep talking about what happened to you when you were younger is why you have such self-esteem issues, and now we're finding about an eating disorder. Maybe you ought to really look into those emotional issues first before you make a big decision about a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right. Little therapy. Then you make a decision. Yeah, she's 23. She's got plenty of time.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a great combination, that 34 double base. It really is. People don't understand bra and back size and all that stuff, but the 34 double B, that's unstoppable.
Well, it's interesting. You've never mentioned it before, Adam.
All right. Carol?
Hey, Adam.
Shut up. What?
I'm having Mike Tyson on a webcast on Monday.
You got to be asking me.
No, I'm not.
How'd you swing that one?
It's working on it. It's not completely set yet.
Man, forget it.
Well, it's about 80%
there. Whitney Houston will be there, too. No way. Where? Down at drdrew.com?
Did you know how Jamaican guys don't like to go down on golf?
I'm actually going to be in Las Vegas for this National Association of Broadcasters. And
Jesus Christ, Drew, anything but do your job. When are you coming back?
Monday night.
Monday night?
In time for this show.
What about us? When are you coming back next?
Oh, you mean from where I am now?
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
You're going to be here tomorrow night?
Yes.
Good, because I missed
it. Would you guys just screw and get it over with?
What do you mean, get it over with?
Attention.
Again? Yeah. All right, Carol?
Yeah?
You're 22.
Hi.
Hey. Oh, hey, the man show's on tonight. I forgot about that.
Oh, will you just do your job for crying out loud? All you ever think about is your other project.
Listen, Dickweed, I don't go there and tape the show during this show. That's
you come in tired. It's irresponsible you come in so tired.
I don't even know you anymore, man.
Get off me, man.
You know what I love?
What if this becomes Sunset Beach?
I love it. Hey, back off, Hardwick. You're way out of line, buddy.
Hey, man, you're in over your head.
That's my other favorite one. Yeah, that's a good one, too.
In over your head.
All right, so the good one is you're in over your head. Yeah. Back off, you're way out of line.
You're biting off more than you can chew.
When you act this way, man, it's like I don't even know you.
That's right, man. Your mouth is writing checks your body can't cash.
Something like that, I don't know. Carol?
Yeah?
You're 22.
Hey.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, well, I started about a year ago. Well, it didn't start, but my father quit talking to me. And
Why?
Well, I don't know. He just is very selfish. My parents are divorced, since I was four. And, he just quit talking to me. I was going to study abroad, the next day anyways, and he comes down and just like, you know, you have a lot of healing to do, et cetera, you know. And it's like, I've had problems with him for years, right?
Oh, he said you have a lot of healing to do?
He told me that, which, you know, I don't. He's very selfish, you know. I don't know what I did wrong, you know.
Wait, where did he get the part about you have a lot of healing to do?
I think he was projecting. That's what she thinks. Well,
very, very immature, and, you know, he's just very self-centered, always thought
All right.
Well, good.
Carol, stop describing your judgment of him and tell us what the hell happened.
Well, I don't know.
All right. Well, listen, you don't know, so forget it. No more questions. There's nothing we can do.
Well, listen. Wait. I just think that I'm having so many issues, like, relating to men because of him, and I just feel like, you know, that I don't know, like, you know, I'm looking back on, like, past relationships and present relationships, and I just feel like I don't know how to relate to guys. Like, I don't trust them.
Can I just throw something out there really quickly?
Yeah.
It sounds like your father was probably victimizing himself, and it sounds like you're doing a very similar thing.
Victimizing himself.
Making himself a victim and saying, you know, for whatever reason, saying, oh, I can't be in this relationship with my daughter and, you know, like being selfish about it. But it sounds like there's a very similar thing going on with your relationships by saying, I can't get close to anybody.
Well, yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like I've just become like this ice queen. Like I just, you know, I've been raised kind of in like a, I don't know, with a really strong mother. But, you know, it's just I've had this jerky father.
Now, what's your dad do for a living?
Oh, God, he's just a loser. He has some internet site, and,
Hey, listen, Carol, you don't sound like you're a huge fan of your dad's.
Oh, not really.
Wait a minute. What does he have?
Hold on a second. Huh? Oh, forget it. Listen, Carol,
you could all be projecting what Mom's saying about him.
Well, you know what? It's not. I feel like she hasn't been very influential. I've really seen for myself that he's pretty much a jerk.
All right. You don't like your dad. Shut up, Drew. You don't like your dad. And he's not talking to you.
I've given him countless.
Shut up, you squawk box. You're driving me nuts.
Oh, God.
I want to break up with you. We're not even going out.
Okay.
Now back off. You're way out of line, sister.
Okay.
You're getting off way more than you can chew.
You're really, really reinforcing her faith in men.
When I talk this way, it's like I don't even know who you are, Kara.
Back off, Gorilla.
Now listen to me.
What?
This guy's an idiot.
Yeah?
You don't seem to like him, and he's not talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Don't talk to him. Talk to a therapist. Read a book, take a walk, try to hash out some of these problems. Do not focus every ounce of energy on a guy who's an idiot and not communicating with you.
Would you agree, though, that at least take responsibility for those pieces of this relationship that are within your...
Absolutely.
Yourself.
Yes.
Look at realistically on who he is, what he is, how you feel, what you can do to change, how you relate, how you can make better choices. Take control of that.
Well, listen, you can blame a parent as much as you want, but it doesn't do you any good when you're out of house and you're trying to make it on your own.
Right,
Adam? It just doesn't.
Well, the other thing is that maybe she just hasn't met the guy that she wants to open up to yet. I mean, sometimes a lot of people, it doesn't seem like they allow themselves to just be indifferent. You know, Adam, you get over that eventually.
What, you want me to punch Chris?
Isn't he cute and naive?
He doesn't believe
I'm sorry, I have not been doing the show since 1874.
That's right. Drew originally did it over the telegraph.
Over the wireless.
Yeah.
It was with Morse code. It was Drew and Marconi.
Right.
That were the day. The show was interesting then.
The Pony Express would bring in the questions, and then he'd run them out to Montana with his answers.
Every other question, syphilis.
Yeah. These Indians.
Oh, yes. Brew.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Chris Hardwick is here tonight. We are talking about Art House, which is our latest joint. Chris actually stars in this, and I'm giving him a writing producing credit, even if he doesn't deserve one.
No,
he gets some. He gets more than whatever I get. But I was in this movie as well, and it's out at Hollywood Video as we speak. So we'll take a little break. And Drew, who are we going to speak to when we come back?
How about Louise? Mine too.
All right. She has HPV, so she has warts. She wants to know, can her girlfriend get it through oral sex? All of that after this. Yep, it is Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191-311 will be in here tomorrow night. Chris Hardwick is our guest tonight. Chris, you remember from Singled Out all those years on MTV, and I guess that's when we met maybe 4 years ago.
We both started at K-Rock at the same time.
Maybe a little bit more than that. Now, he's got a few movie projects, but he's not allowed to talk about them because he hasn't signed the thing yet.
That doesn't sound suspect, does it?
No, but I got the skinny out of him. Sounds pretty good.
Mm. Hasn't signed the thing yet?
Well, yeah, I guess.
That's just a thing.
Yeah. Just things you sign, and you can't talk about them.
By the way, I checked the website, and I'm like, hey, I wonder if I'll be on. No, it wasn't on. But fortunately, Mandy and Sandy Bentley, the twin playmates, were on the website.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Well, they were on last week, weren't they?
Oh.
No, they weren't supposed to be on tonight, were they?
No.
You have the Loveline website?
Mm-hmm.
The Loveline site's a little messed up right now.
Go to the drdrew.com site. It's updated every day.
Go ahead, buddy.
Hang on a second.
And he derailed you for mentioning the Man Show.
By the way, Man Show starts in a minute. Comedy Central.
Hang on a second. Listen, you like this, Chris. We're having an interesting promotion where we're having a big party at the House of Blues on April 25th where... our users are going to pick a guy and a girl. They're going to go in a van and stream video as they tour the country for 3 months, and it's going to be an interesting adventure.
I smell rape.
On streaming video, if that's what happens.
What night is the 25th?
It's a Tuesday.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you pop up from time to time, like at a grocery store and stuff?
I'll be in there, yes. I'll be occasionally.
Drew, what time does that House of Blues party start?
Early in the evening.
Is Sugar Ray playing?
That's the plan.
Oh, really? Yeah, they'll be there with Tyson. And that starts early enough so I can go have a good time and then sober up and come back and do the show, right?
You can go have a good time.
All right. Where the hell are... Oh, yes, yes. But Art House is the movie that Chris is here to promote tonight. And that is available exclusively at Hollywood Video Chains. I'm also in that movie.
That's right.
That's reason enough to get it.
Our director, Lee Slaughter, would be very proud.
Good plug. Louise?
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, so you have warts.
Yeah.
And you're lesbian.
Well, I'm bisexual.
Uh-huh. Do you believe that that's God punishing you in any way?
No.
No.
It was me being stupid.
I see. And
how'd you get him?
I tried an open relationship with my ex, and I got it from him.
Uh-huh.
An open relationship. What is up with you, Louise? Jeez.
She's a little chaotic.
A little.
So now you have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And for now, you're a lesbian, then, right? What's your girlfriend think about you being with boys?
She doesn't mind. She's bisexual, also.
I see.
So you guys are not having a monogamous relationship?
No, we are.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now, we're just choosing to be together.
I see. But at any moment now, you may get a craving for some penis and go up the way. Okay, so now...
Crazy.
See, I got to put it on hold for a second. I've said this many times. People get upset by this, but they can kiss my ass. When you announce you're bisexual and you're in a relationship, you're basically, you're saying I'm going to cheat.
You're advertising.
You're saying, like, hey, I'm monogamous with you for now, but I'm bisexual.
Right.
And eventually, in order to keep my bisexuality status going, I'm going to have to get a little pepe every once in a while.
And you have to renew.
Yeah, otherwise...
Yeah,
it's like SAG or AFTRA or anything else.
You gotta, yeah, exactly. You lose your status after a year.
That's right. Well, you'll lose your medical insurance if you don't blow at least one guy a week.
But that really pisses off the lesbian union, though, because if you're going back and forth...
I know, they're real tough customers over there. Yeah. All right, so anyway, Louise, you want to know if you can give this HPV to your girlfriend.
Hey, one thing. Hey, Chris, you suck up that cup and take a big swallow. Ooh, another 5 inches away from the mic.
I'll stop if you just keep saying suck off to me over and over again.
Hey, Louise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have these warts on your private parts down there, right? And your girlfriend comes in contact with that part of you with her mouth, right? Well, Drew, these warts don't seem to spread to the mouth, do they?
Not, they can, but they don't seem to.
But this is sort of an ideal situation to have the warts. Because she's got it on her crotch. Her girlfriend is not going to get her crotch on Louise's crotch, or is she?
You always see the positive in everything.
You give me warts, I give you wart aid. And you guys don't bump with the crotches, do you?
Oh, that would be unsafe, and I wouldn't do that to anybody.
I see. So,
and she's not put, even though you can't get it, it would seem kind of off-putting to say, now, before you go down, I have warts, but you won't get them, so go ahead. Doesn't that, it just seems a little odd.
Oh, how do you know that your girlfriend doesn't have them?
No.
How do you know that?
We haven't done any of that yet until figured out. Because actually, I've asked many doctors, and I've got conflicting... advice.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not surprised. It's a controversial issue, and I'm not sure if there's any definitive answer that somebody can give you that would be accurate.
You guys use any sex toys?
Yeah, but there's no sharing.
And, you know, there was some data that came out recently that suggested that, I happen to think that is wrong, but they were suggesting that 80% of women have this virus.
Oh, really?
That's yeah.
And I thought
that seems a tad high.
Well, I think it's probably around 30%, in fact, but 80% was the number out there. And the condoms are not particularly useful in preventing the spread of this thing.
So what they're saying is 80% of women have it, and 70% of those women don't know they have it.
A lot of people don't know they have it, and there's really yet no good way to prevent spread.
But is that the thing where they survey 1,000 people, and then there's like 80% of those 1,000 people?
You know, it may have been, you know, 100 surveyed at a wife swapping center.
We talked to 10 Bangkok whores.
Right,
It turns out 8 of them had HPV. Yeah, so there you go. The national average for the United 100%. States, 80%. Thank you very much.
No, but it was not that fast. I mean,
all right. Louise?
Huh?
So anyway, the good news is, as far as we know, you and your lesbian partner for the time being can go at it. Do not share any instruments and keep her crotch away from your crotch, and all will be good. Christina?
Enjoy.
Christina?
Yeah?
You're 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up? Drew loves it when I say, enjoy.
Okay, I have an ex-boyfriend.
I'm easily amused. I'm sorry, Christina, go right ahead.
Oh, I have an ex-boyfriend. He's going around spreading a bunch of rumors, and I'm getting sick of it.
He's just a dick.
All right.
He is. What are the rumors about?
He's going around telling all my friends I'm a slut and everything, and now all my friends turn against me.
Oh, they do not.
They don't.
Shut up.
That's not true. Unless they want to date him or something.
Well,
she's dating him?
Yeah.
All right. Well, she turned against you. Maybe she's convinced a couple of your other friends to turn against you, too, because they're her friends as well.
You might want to redefine the term friends.
Right. And also, Christina, this one girl that is now dating your boyfriend is probably gathering support lest people should look at her behavior, her shameful behavior, and make her feel bad about what she's done, which she should. So am I making sense?
Hey, you made sense to me.
So what she's doing is gathering up support to turn people against you so they don't notice that she really was a Benedict Arnold.
That's right.
Another 70s reference.
Yeah.
For your relationship.
I would have liked to see a little more Benedict Arnold humor in today's
I want some more Carter jokes, and then I'll be happy.
Well, we'll see if we can weave those in, too. Christina?
Yeah?
Here's the deal. You're 15. This crap goes on all the time. And you cannot make people be friends or better friends. If they're not acting like friends, then eventually they're not friends, and you find new people. I mean, people do this. They call the show all the time. They have friends, and they're like, my friend stabbed me with a sprinkler key. My friend is screwing my boyfriend. My friend tried to smother me with a pillow while I was asleep. Well, you know what? At a certain point, they're not your friends anymore. When they're bad-mouthing you or sleeping with your boyfriend.
But, you know, it's a lot easier for us because we're not in high school anymore.
Sure.
And the spectrum of our lives is wider. But when you're in school, you know, you only have a small group.
You have a class.
Yeah, it seems a lot worse than it actually is because you don't get outside of it at all. And you don't care as much.
That is your world, and your world is kind of effed up.
Right, yeah.
And the point is, though, is you have to sort of move to another part of your world and hang out with people from that land.
The best satisfaction that you have is in... as a little bit of time passes, you'll be able to look back and just say they're a bunch of a-holes, and then you'll laugh. I mean, honestly, you may not seem like it right now, but you'll feel better about it eventually.
Brad?
Hey,
that
you
are. Terrible advice. What's wrong with me?
That was decent. You're 18.
We're not listening ever, Chris. Sorry. Hi, Brad?
Hey, you hosers.
Ooh.
How's it going, eh?
Yeah, that's good.
Just strange brew.
McKinsey Brothers humor that was all the rage in 1984 is back on
Love Line. Those late 70s, early 80s references. Here we are.
Well, that's mid-80s. What do you want, Brad?
Hey, can I say something about that marijuana reference to not eating girls out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big stoner. Like, I've been smoking weed since, like, a long time ago, and I love eating out.
Kudos to you, sir.
All right.
There's also a de-repressive quality to marijuana. Notice that?
Yeah.
Inability to contain impulses, screen thoughts.
Thank you.
Kapow, Drew.
Brad?
Yes?
None of us like you, so hurry up with your question, please.
Man.
I like you, Brad. You make my points for me. You illustrate them nicely.
Okay. Well, my girlfriend, she likes to give me head, and I don't blame her. But when she gives me head...
No, I don't like you.
Yeah. Hold on, Brad. I just had to put Brad on hold because of a sort of a side commentary to his own questions. You know?
Exactly.
Well,
fortunately, he had to justify that. I don't blame her.
Right. And who could, really? Drew, let's talk to someone else and then have Brad sit on hold. You know, it's funny, too. Brad's been on hold for 52 minutes now.
That may explain the aggression.
No. It could be punchy. Megan?
Oh, hi.
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I was just wondering about if you were to take drugs while you were on the pill, if it would affect it in any way.
What drugs?
Yeah.
Like, let's see. My friend, she wants to know about ecstasy, but I don't know if that would affect it.
Yeah, I don't know that that's been studied, Megan. I suspect it could. It's not like antibiotics, which are well known to, but it possibly could. And pills are basically designed to be used a certain way. And on the other hand, I'm not sure that it has much of an effect because a lot of people do a lot of drugs. And you don't hear about an extraordinary amount of birth control failure caused by use of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so go to the park and shoot up on Drew.
And see if you get pregnant.
That's right.
And you'll have your answer.
All right. Mark. Mark, you 20?
Yeah.
It says here that you masturbate to your sister.
Yes.
Yeah.
How come
to her? I don't believe him already.
Mm-hmm. You don't believe me.
Yeah, now I really don't believe you the way you say you don't believe me. Is this your biological sister?
Hold on, I put him on hold.
Oh, you did?
Go.
Mark?
Yes.
Is this your biological sister?
Yes.
All right.
How old is she?
22.
Uh-huh. Do you still live at home?
Yes.
Why don't you describe the average fantasy while performing this act?
I just imagine myself having sex with her.
I see.
Are you a virgin?
No.
Have you been with many women?
No.
Just your mom and grandma?
Been with her? Your sister?
No, not at all.
Not been your sister?
Not at all.
Not even a second base? Come on. You guys have been living together for 20-something years.
What is it about your sister you think that's attracting you?
I don't know what it is, but when I was a little kid, I also, like, would try to stare, like, through the cracks of the doors and when I was young.
Yeah, well, that's kind of normal, but as you get a little bit older, you stop being curious and attracted to your sister.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But you haven't stopped, huh?
No.
Well, let me venture a guess here. When did you start masturbating? At what age?
Around 12, 13.
12, 13. And were you thinking of your sister back then?
No.
When did you begin thinking of your sister?
Probably around 15, 16.
See, there goes my theory. See, my only theory with this guy was maybe he started masturbating early, which he did, 12, 13.
The only image of a woman that he had.
The only one who was nearby taking a shower or looking through her curtain or whatever was his sister, and that just kind of got stuck in his masturbatory craw.
Yes, but, you know, I used to have a mad crush on Lauren Twayze, the cruise director from The Love Boat.
Sure.
I lost that at about age 14.
Yeah, I picked it up. Yeah, I had the same thing with Adrienne Barbeau. I must have.
She was so good in Swamp Thing.
I must have dedicated at least a garbage can worth of semen to Adrienne Barbeau's likeness. And, you know, not one of those small office ones either. I'm talking about the big 25 gallon.
Big metal cans that your friend the garbage man knock around in the morning.
Guy got the hernia trying to throw that thing in the back of the truck.
You're in over your head.
Right, my point is that even I let that one go. Mark has not let this one go. I do believe him. And there's something's up with him.
I'm curious to know if he's confronted his sister about it. Probably not.
I
get a little bit of a feel from Mark that troubles me.
All right.
You get that too, Adam?
Yes. Mark's got to get some therapy.
Well, some aggression in there somewhere. Real serious aggression.
We're going to take a break. We're telling him it's not good, and he should talk to someone about it other than his sister. And move out of the house. We'll be back after this.
Indeed.
Yep, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Parole. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Chris Hardwick is our guest tonight.
Who?
Those of you who know the MTV network, and we know some of our listeners do, will remember Chris, of course, from Singled Out all those years.
The pre-Carson years.
Loveline may have been on longer than Singled Out. How long was Singled Out on?
We did like 325 episodes of that show.
True?
We've done more than that.
I think you have. We've done like 375, I think.
Yeah. And you guys are going back for more.
Oh. I don't know. You never know. With all the smack I talk about MTV, I'm always surprised that those cheap bastards have us back. But apparently they have no pride up there. Carl?
Oh, we're done talking to Mark about the sister?
He's gone.
He's gone. He dropped off.
Good. Carl? Well, he had a little business to attend to.
We turn on the Night Rangers.
Art House, by the way, is the name of the movie that not only Chris is in, but yours truly is in this film. And again, it's not a movie. It's a film. It is out exclusively at Hollywood Video, and those of you who are in that neighborhood and renting a movie should definitely pick this one up. Can you buy it there, or do you just rent it?
So not prepared.
I think
you can probably buy it. It's part of the First Rights independent program. So
now let me ask you guys a quick question before we get to Carl. Remember, you and Chris. Remember back in the day you know, when they first started renting videos, you'd rent a video and you'd rent like a ski school five.
Exactly.
Had a boob scene in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd lend it to one of your buddies and he threw it in the back of his truck and his truck got ripped off. And then you got a bill from the rental place for $118.71.
Yeah.
And the notion that this movie that probably cost $500 to make mm-hmm. is now going to cost $118.71 to replace sounded ridiculous. But you didn't really have much choice. It's like, what are you going to do? But now they sell videos, and you can go get, you know, the Star Wars series for $55. If you rent a video now and lose it, is it still this exorbitant fee, or do you think it's just $10 or $15?
I think all the like the 1995 videos are like the ones that are on some sort of a special. But I think honestly, if you lost Ski School 5, it would probably cost about $118. Like I still today, I think so.
So ironically,
where are you going to find another copy of Ski School 5?
Ironically, if you rented Mission Impossible and lost that one, you could replace it for $14.95 because they're selling them for $14.95.
I don't think it works that way. I think you probably would have to pay like the full like $90.
Oh my God, what kind of world are we living in, Drew? Carl?
Yeah.
You're 16. What's up?
Every time I go in my math class, I just got this new math teacher, and she's like 29. I just get an erection. It's getting really, really embarrassing.
Yeah. Why? Does she know you're getting an erection?
No, my friends do. They call me, like, bad names.
Are you wearing sweatpants?
No.
No, you wouldn't.
They know.
Yeah, they know.
Well, just because, like, there's a big lump, dude.
Well, you're sitting down at your desk, right?
Yeah.
Well, do they see your big lump while you're sitting down in front of your desk?
You're not the nicest people, bro.
What'd you say?
They're really nice, dude. They're like mean. They're like, whoa, dude, look at Carl, dude.
No, I understand guys are mean and inherently evil, but how is it that they see your lump when you're sitting at your desk?
Because, like, it just sticks.
Shut up. They don't see your lump, you moron. Now, you must tell them about it.
Well.
Okay. That's what we're getting at. So you tell your buddies, and then they make fun of you.
Gotcha.
Now, right. I'll never be able to explain why later in life the quadratic equation will make you get wood.
It is something that every young teenage boy experiences at one time or another. It will go away.
It's usually history, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Man, somehow...
Yeah, it takes away. It
doesn't fit.
Wasn't that the plot of Good Will Hunting? Or was it not the same?
No, Good Will Hunting was the guy that was a super genius, except for he was a janitor.
Right.
The janitors must have loved that movie, by the way. I found it ridiculous. Pinky?
Hi.
You're 24.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have a bit of a situation. It's been going on for about a little over a year. 2 years ago, I got divorced, and I have two children. After the divorce, everybody got depressed. And
everybody?
Yeah, my kids. I was very depressed. My ex-husband lost about 60 to 70 pounds. And
he got down to 255.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
230 and got down to like 170 something.
All right, but he's 5'5", so that's fine.
The divorce guy.
No, he was pretty tall.
All right.
Anyway, we decided to move in together as roommates for the kids' sake.
Very healthy.
Well, it's been going okay. Now we want to, you know, get married and live on our own, but I guess we prolonged the inevitable, and I don't know how the kids are going to take it right now.
Wait, do you want to get married to your ex-husband and leave the kids?
No, they each have their own relationship.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
How old are the kids?
They're 8 and 3.
And you guys each have a serious relationship?
Well, he's had girlfriends. I have a very serious relationship with my boyfriend, so.
And you guys are still living together?
Yes.
Can't you guys move into a duplex, all of you, and just sell a sitcom to the WB?
Well, I have, like, different rooms. You know, my boyfriend
and
kids, they have their rooms.
Okay, so it's not just, like, a quadruple bunk bed
no.
In one room with a high ceiling.
No.
Well, then that's fine. Hey, Pinky?
Yes?
Obviously, you're going to get married, and he's going to get married, and all this stuff is going to go down, and you're just going to have to sort of break it to the kids, and try not to screw them up anymore.
It'd certainly be a lot better than all living together.
why not just live in, right next door or nearby, something where the kids can feel as though they're sharing some sort of regular connection with both of your lives?
Jesus, imagine dating someone and you go home with them.
Who's that guy? Oh, that's my husband.
That's my ex. And it's like, yeah, but honey, I'm going to nail you in about 10 minutes. Yeah, he's cool. Yeah, when I...
just turn on Cinemax and get over it.
I hang a scrunchie on the doorknob that means I'm getting some. He won't come in.
Yeah, well. Although one time he did burst through the door with an axe and a double-barrel shotgun, but that only happened once.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and slide the night table up against it so we'll have a little bit of time to get out of the way.
Just be as loud as you want, and then if anything goes down, there's a rope ladder under the bed. And here we go.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Who we got to talk to when we come back, Joe?
We're going to wait to see.
Ooh. No.
Oh, no. Let's line three. Sue.
Oh, yeah. Sue is 14 and pregnant with boyfriend's, with girlfriend's brother's baby. What? With girlfriend's brother's baby. Okay, I see. I got it now. All right. We'll talk to the pregnant 14-year-old Sue after this. Yep, it's Loveline. We're going to take a quick 10-second timeout, like we always do at the top of the hour, and we'll be back with more of the fabulous program in just 10 seconds.
This is Loveline on Radio Station. Zone 105, KZNR Lakeville, KZNZ Cambridge, KZNZ Eden Prairie. This is Zone 105.
It's Loveline. I'm Adam Kroll. That is Dr. Drew. 311 will be in here tomorrow night. I don't know when the last time we saw 311 was. Do you remember, Drew?
6 months ago.
6 months ago?
I don't know. That's what Anderson just said.
Really? That was like 4 years ago.
I would have said it was a while ago.
311 was in here 6 months ago? Was I here?
During the Christmas thing, maybe.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
they came in at Christmas. That's right.
Yeah.
All right, Chris is, they'll be in tomorrow night. Tonight we have Chris Hardwick in here, and he's plugging Art House, which is a movie that he worked on a couple of years back, which is released now exclusively at the Hollywood Video Store. I am also in this movie. And here's something that's interesting in this release here. It says, as you know, Art House is a dramedy which stars Chris Hardwick, and then it says MTV singled out.
Mm.
Guys Like Us also, which was the sitcom Chris was in about a year ago, or maybe two.
We had 100 loyal fans.
Then it says Adam Carolla, and it says nothing, and then it says Amy Weber, Port Charles. Now, why don't I have a thing after my name?
Because your credits are so extensive, there's not enough paper in existence to house them all.
Well, no,
they love you at Bragman Nyman.
Oh, yes, those genius.
Well, yeah, they made you one of the stars.
That's right. That's right here. I play Weston Craig. Yeah, well, maybe I'll take this as a good thing. Like, people know who I am, so you don't need to say
what
it is. Is that it?
Of course.
Wow.
You were in Times Square today. You were 50 feet tall.
That's right, Drew.
100 feet tall. Something very scary.
Well, let me just do the ratio math here. If I was 100 feet tall,
I knew it was going to go peanut.
That made my penis 7.5 inches. Yes. Finally. Broke the elusive 7 barrier.
A half, are you sure? Come on.
Giving myself the benefit of the doubt. Sue?
Yes?
You're 14?
Yeah.
You're pregos?
Yeah.
And how far along are you?
About 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is your third child?
No, my first.
First child. And you were impregnated by your brother's friend?
No.
Or your girlfriend's brother? I'm sorry.
You mean girlfriend.
You mean a friend of yours?
No.
You mean your lesbian partner's brother?
Yeah.
Oh, well, how did that happen?
I was at her house for a party, and I got wasted, and it just kind of ended up that way.
How old is her brother?
17, I think.
I see. And when did you find out you were a lesbian? Wait a minute, how can you be a lesbian? Did he rape you?
No.
No, oh.
I was just really wasted.
Are you bisexual then?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I see. And what happened to you? Did somebody monkey with you growing up?
Of course.
No.
Oh, come on. God,
when I was 14, I was watching Police Academy films all the time. I never went to any wild parties where people did stuff.
I finally progressed to Porky's.
Thank you.
Porky's seriously, too. Where's your dad?
He's I live with my sister.
Oh, okay. Oh, that explains it.
By the way, my name isn't really Sue.
Okay.
That's hard to believe.
Well, then we were all wrong about this one.
Yeah.
Your person said that to go by that because she couldn't pronounce my name.
Oh, okay.
Well, you don't have to.
What is your name?
Alanka.
Alanka?
Yeah.
All right. I'll call you Alanka.
Alanka, look, where are your parents?
They're downstate.
Why?
Because my dad's a minister. And I wanted to stay in the same schools, and I got transferred.
And what about your mom? She's with him?
Yeah.
How often do you see him?
Every weekend, mostly.
You guys aren't Calvinists, are you?
What?
See, I thought maybe the whole predestination thing might make it easier on the parents.
You're way over the heads of our listeners.
I'm sorry.
So, Alanka.
Yes?
How kind of minister's daughter name is Alanka, by the way?
I have no idea.
All right. Is your dad a good guy?
Yes, very.
And what happened to you? Why all the confusion?
I don't know. It's just... I'm not sure.
Was this your first time?
Yeah.
It was?
Yes.
All right.
Having sex with a male?
Yeah.
Right. How long have you been having sex with women?
Close to a year.
I see. And how's your sister? Is she all right?
Yeah, she's fine.
How old is she?
She's 21.
All right. And what are you going to do with this pregnancy?
I'm going to have the kid.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
How come?
I don't believe in abortion.
That's my favorite answer from the...
You going to give it up for adoption?
Praise 14-year-old lesbian. And then what are you going to do? Yes, you going to sell it? Give it up for adoption? What are you going to do?
No, I'm going to have it live here with me and my sister and her kid.
Oh,
her kid.
Yeah.
How old was she when she had her kid?
16.
Hey, let me take a wild guess. The father of that child is not around?
No.
He was 4 years older at the time? He was about 20?
No, though.
Oh. He is.
She is.
She's remarried.
Yeah.
All right. I don't trust that guy, by the way.
What went on in your... Something awful went on in your household, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. First of all, letting, you know, a 13-year-old and a 20-year-old to live together as far away from home is bizarre.
Well, because I wanted to stay in the same school.
I understand your reasoning for it, but it's bizarre.
Well, true. Okay. He's spreading the good word.
And I wonder if it's legal even. But be that as it may, there's obviously something really serious happened to you guys growing up. I don't know if it was in the home or nearby or what. What kind of neighborhood did you grow up in?
And it's a very small town. It's very nice.
I see.
What happened?
Nothing.
Well, how did you get so screwed up? I know it sounds like a trick question.
Isn't it possible that just not having any real, like, parental structure might have just...
Sure.
Yeah, but usually what happens then is they sort of fall victim to somebody in the neighborhood who takes full advantage of them, and they start doing drugs and alcohol and that sort of thing and get more involved in things that are really abusive and exploitative.
All right.
But that with her, with Sue, it sounds like it started around age 6 to 8.
Well,
were you ever paddled by your parents? They ever hit you or anything?
No, they've never even yelled at me.
Fine. Alanka?
Uh-huh.
I'm done guessing, by the way. Why don't you give this child up for adoption so they can have a chance of not turning out like you or your sister? Can you do that?
Okay. And the question actually was, how do I break it to my parents and my girlfriend?
No, what do you need to tell your parents for?
I'd worry more about the parents than the girlfriends.
Yeah, and they just found out about a week ago that I was lesbian, so...
Uh-huh.
Break it that I'm pregnant.
How did they find out about that?
Well... They kind of walked in at me. I was down at their house.
Oh, I see. So you're getting it on in the living room, and they came home from church.
Yes.
How'd they take that? What'd they do with that information?
They're very worried, very upset.
All right.
How about the initial shock approach? I'm taking the heroin. You are? No, I'm kidding. I'm just pregnant.
Yeah, that's good. The less of two evils.
What are they worried about?
I don't know.
Well, you said they're very worried. What are they worried about? You're going to go to hell or something?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what they're worried about.
But didn't you kind of want them to find out if you went down to their house and got it on with your girlfriend when they came home?
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, this is what we're trying to get is you are so, you're like, you're not even there. It's like, Sue's not there.
Right.
You can't talk to her about what's motivating or where she's doing, what's happening because she ain't there.
A friend of mine, when I was in high school, had a girlfriend whose father was, I don't know if he was a minister or just, like, staunchly, staunchly religious. So strict that she was just completely deviant, you know,
of
completely
course.
Rebellious, completely deviant, and trampy.
That's why I'm going to worship Satan whenever I have children.
But that is the response not to his religious structure or conservatism, but the aggression and intrusiveness with which that is applied.
And we all know something's up because she claims her parents are great and she loves them and everything's fine, but yet she made sure that they found...
Yes, made sure they found out she lives way far away at the age of 14, and when they found out she was lesbian, their reaction was to get worried that she might go to hell because of her behavior.
Well, those are words you put in her mouth. But the point is she's angry at her parents or she wouldn't have let them find out about the lesbianism. Right. I mean, think about it for a second.
Oh,
if you really don't want your parents to find out something, you go to their house, disrobe with your girlfriend and get it on.
Especially when you don't live there. Especially when you don't live there.
Right.
Yeah, like she couldn't just limit it to her own independent household where she lives.
All right, this is a mess, and...
New York is making you aggressive, Drew.
Yes, Drew, calm down. I don't know if it's all the horns honking or the rude taxi drivers, but you're really getting out of control. Here's what I want to say. She needs to give this kid up for adoption. Absolutely, 100%, and there really should be laws against 14-year-olds who don't have parents themselves raising their own kids and screwing them up.
Yeah,
I pray she has a daughter so that she can be a stripper, not a son so that he can be a murderer. Gina.
Yes.
You're 20.
Yes.
What is up?
My question is actually for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that I have these little red bumps on the surface of my vagina, and... I had one, and it went away after some time, and then now, like, three more have come up, and they almost look like little blisters, but, I mean, I'm pretty monogamous with my boyfriend. He's monogamous with me.
Are they on the skin, or are they on the sort of the lip surface?
No, they're, like, on the skin.
The skin, and they're in the pubic area?
Yes.
And they're red. Do they have little white sort of tops on them?
Sort of, yeah.
Just during the winter?
Sound like ingrown hairs.
If you scrape them off, does anything come off?
Well, I mean, I don't really want to pick at them.
Have you, though?
Bleed.
Is that what they do if you pick at them?
Mm-hmm.
They bleed?
Mm-hmm.
And did something scrape off them when you picked at them?
Not really. I mean, it's kind of like picking at a blister, like.
Uh-oh.
I can't really... Really
hurt. That sounds like herpes.
No. Does it hurt or burn?
No.
Hey, no, Drew, she said that it felt like a blister.
It's molluscum contagiosum. I really think so.
Really?
Because that doesn't hurt. It's red. It's a red, little, it's more like a vesicle than a blister, right? Like chicken pox.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, does she need to get checked out?
Yeah, to be sure.
In layman's terms, what is molluscum contagiosum?
It's a virus that causes things like what you're describing in the pubic area.
It is infection. It is.
It's sexually transmitted disease, but it's completely harmless. And it usually goes away by itself. And to sort of get control over it, the doctors just sort of scoop the tops off them. These little round, hard, white things sometimes come off the top.
Harmless except for the aesthetic thing.
All right. Yeah. All right. She needs to go talk to someone and find out exactly what it is. All right, let's speak to John. John is 25. John?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much. How you doing?
Good. What's your question?
My girlfriend and I have been going out for a while now, and we always talk rather sexually or provocatively while we're having sex, and we've been contemplating on having another person in our relationship.
We've been contemplating, or you've been hammering her about that?
Probably been the latter part of that.
Yeah, you've been bugging her about it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And how
I love guys. I love guys.
I know.
We came together, reached a conclusion that we'd love to have another third person.
Hey, let's do it with somebody else. I don't know if, we're talking about it, you know.
Hey,
it's always the girl going, all right, okay.
John, how long have you two been going out?
I'm going to save a little and just throw the numbers off just because I'll go short and say 3.
Oh, Jesus. Why is everyone such an idiot on our show?
It's the Riddler.
Okay. So you say 3 so we can think 4.5.
Yeah, probably.
Thank you. Everything takes 20 minutes on this show.
Well, I've heard Drew talk about this subject time and time again.
And what would he say now, Chris?
I can't do it quite in Drew speak.
Yes.
But it would be something to the effect of, once you have a threesome, your relationship is never the same, and most often will end up in a breakup.
That's right. And then my theory is if you're hankering for a threesome a few months into a new relationship, you're probably not as in love as you think you might be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Everyone close their eyes. You've met the woman of your dreams. You've been going out for a scant 3 or 4 months, and you're thinking about weaving someone else into the sexual fabric. You're probably not that into her. So I agree with you, and I agree with Drew. The relationship will be thrown off balance by this, and will ultimately, it will see its demise based on this. But I think its demise came when you decided to bring someone else in the bedroom. So I don't think it's a coincidence.
There's a great movie called Sex Monster, which is about a guy who convinces his girlfriend to get into a threesome, and then she starts having an affair with the woman.
Right.
Yeah.
And that happens. That happens too. But I think it's a guy's sort of unconscious effort to sabotage a relationship when he buys for the threesome.
You really give it that much credibility?
Well, no. I think what it is is you get in a relationship. It starts getting a little intense. It starts feeling. You start to feel a little serious and a little vulnerable, and you start to have feelings, and you go, I got to screw this up. I got to get out of this. But you don't think consciously, I got to screw this up. You think, what if we got another chick in here?
Right.
And lo and behold, it screws things up,
right.
And you got your wish.
So rather the thinking usually goes along the lines of, it'd be so much more fun.
Right.
It'd be so much more lively, so much more arousing.
Because rather than delving into like more serious emotional issues.
Well, rather than I'm getting kind of uncomfortable or the feeling that sometimes is boredom, and those are the feelings people have when they don't want to have feelings.
So when those feelings arise, it's probably a sign that the relationship is not doing too well.
That is my point, and that's why I believe they end with the threesome, not because of the threesome, but because they decided to have the threesome.
Mm-hmm.
Rose?
Yes.
You're 23. What's up?
Well, I'm getting married in September, and I have been wanting to see my fiancé have sex with another female.
Well, if you catch him Friday nights between midnight and 4 a.m., he's usually doing that.
Just make sure all the wedding gifts have a return policy.
Normal,
perfectly natural.
Perfectly healthy. And why is it that you want to do this?
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, most... we were just talking about this theory, but I would guess that you probably don't want to get married, and you know this is going to screw things up, and it's a good excuse to get out.
Usually when you have your first meeting with the clergy that's going to marry you, he'll want to know that you've done this.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Rose?
Yes?
Why, any other unusual thoughts that you've had in the past about the gents?
No, it's just a thing that's came up lately. I thought it'd be kind of neat to just... I don't even want to join in. I just want to sit and watch it.
Here's that I described a little while ago. Neat, arousing, won't be so bored.
Well, why?
It's all about the feelings that lead to sabotage.
You want him to reciprocate and go, and hey, honey, why don't you try it?
No, nope, I don't think she does. Do you?
She just wants to end this thing.
I just want to watch.
I see. And whose idea was this?
It's mine.
It's yours. And have you brought it up to him?
Yeah, kind of.
If you want that third-person point of view feel, why not just buy a video camera and watch it on television? Watch you.
Yeah, you get that POV of a third person outside of the sexual engagement itself.
She wants to be pissed.
All right, hey, Rose?
Yes.
And what does he say to this?
He doesn't like the idea.
He doesn't.
Oh, see, that's where this came from.
Right. He's sort of healthy.
He's a nice guy.
And she don't like it.
How long have you guys been together?
A little over 7 years.
Watch this. Is he different than your previous boyfriends?
Well, he's really the only steady boyfriend I've ever really had.
Yeah, they've been together 7 years.
No, but listen, but before
I was dating, what's she doing before that?
Hey, listen, you just talked to a 14-year-old, right?
All right.
And what kind of relationships were they like before him?
I didn't really have much of a relationship.
Hold on, let me jump in here, Drew.
Yeah.
You should know that whenever you attempt to make any sort of example, even a small or insignificant one, it always backfires in your doctoral face.
Yes, yes. Go ahead. You do it then.
All right. Rose?
Yes.
Where's Daddy?
He's not around.
All right. And what did he do before he left?
Well, him and my mom split up when I was seven, and after that, he just never had anything to do with me.
And did he do anything bad before he left?
No.
Yeah? No drinking, no beating on mom, nothing like that?
No, actually, he was a pretty good husband.
He just
why did they break up
for the leaving part?
My mom didn't love him anymore.
I see. And then why didn't he love you anymore after he broke up?
Because I think because he was angry at her and he took it.
Oh. Okay, please, well, that's perfectly normal, perfectly healthy. Hey, Rose,
yes.
You must be pretty damn mad at your dad for abandoning you that way. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm pretty pissed.
All right, and whatever you feel toward your dad in general, I think you have a decent amount of anger toward men overall. And I think you want to sabotage this, just like we were talking about before. I'm not sure if you want to get married. I think you want to see your husband in this act with another woman, and I think
so
you want a reason
anger.
To get angry. You don't have any kids, do you?
No.
Good. Please don't have any kids.
I don't want any for a long time.
Good.
Good.
That's
Rose.
Right.
That is your healthiest impulse right there.
All right. Do not get married. Get a little counseling, and do not carry on with this this bizarre fantasy of yours. She's angry, and she wants to excuse the vent.
That complex web of psychosis is fascinating.
Oh, my God. She is a mess. I'm telling you, because women don't think like men. For a woman to have this thought, she's pretty whack. Meaning, and here's what I'm going to say. We talk to guys all the time that haven't seen, just like Rose's dad, their daughter since they were 5 or 6 or 7. And that's bad. That's not a great guy. But you know what? It doesn't mean he's completely whack. You show me a woman who hasn't seen their son or daughter since they're 5 or 6, a mother, that woman is whack.
Yeah.
Because there's a biology it working here. And this is like the opposite. With sex. And this is Rose doing this. This is whack.
I'm nodding in blind agreement.
Thank you. Brian?
Yes, hi. I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah?
Okay. Have you ever heard of the Boston Medical Health Group?
I don't live in Boston.
Oh, no, you don't happen to live in Boston. They have it over here in Orange County, matter of fact. There's one in Costa Mesa.
All right. What are they?
My question is, it's for penile enlargement and pre-ejaculation.
Yeah.
I went there for pre-ejaculation, and they gave me a shot. And I was wondering if it was supposed to keep me hard, and then they're supposed to follow up with a. It's quite an expensive dosage. It's like $900 for 6 months of dosages, 10 times a month.
So he sits in the back of a trailer with a cardboard.
Is this papaverine or something you inject into the penis?
Yeah, it's injected in the base, like the base.
Yeah.
It got me like a kind of, but not fully erect. They said it's not supposed to. But I was pretty much wondering if that's bad for you in the long run.
Well, there can be from. I'm surprised. I'm shocked. In fact, they would give that to a 21-year-old unless you have a spinal injury or a diabetic or something.
No, just they said that that's normal for me for whatever. I'm 21 years old, and you know I. Well, I guess you could say hair trigger real fast.
All right, but hold on. Brian, there's one thing I'm a little confused about. You have a premature orgasm when you're with a woman, right?
Right.
But what does that have to do with your erection?
He wants to keep it going after he's ejaculated.
So it's kind of like walking with bare feet. Your feet start to develop calluses or whatever. You get used to it.
I see. So hold on. Let me just make sure we're on the same page. So you have sex with a woman, you have your usual premature ejaculation, and then you give yourself the injection?
No, it's before, and it's supposed to be like, I might,
keep them going.
Faster than fast still, but at least I'm staying hard.
You don't lose your erection.
Well, and two things. Brian, those repeated injections can cause scarring of the penis. At 21, that's why I'm concerned about them giving you this treatment at your young age.
Yes.
Over the long term, it could be a significant deal. And I remember I brought in that mock-up of a penis, the practice injection on.
Mock-up? I thought that was a jumbo novelty-sized penis you brought in.
Remember?
Yeah, it was like a Lucite penis.
No, it was like a rubber one.
Well, it was rubber, but it was transparent.
When you're a doctor, you can play everything off as it's medical.
Yes.
That's great.
They had a big crank on the end of it, and it was black, and it had two heads, and Drew said it was part of his research.
That's what we give people to help them learn how to do these injections.
Right. So, did you get one of those rubber penises, Brian?
No, I didn't get a rubber penis.
No, maybe you could have saved some money.
$900, you should get a box of rubber penises.
Yeah. You should get some bronze balls, too.
I didn't buy it. I didn't buy the dosage because I don't have that kind of money to throw in the front. It cost me $150 for the exam itself.
Oh, wow.
And it did leave like a little bruise, and they said that's kind of normal where they inject.
Yeah, that's fine. Again, it's the scarring that's the biggest concern. The newer injectables are pretty safe.
They're basically sort of anti-inflammatory.
All right, but here's the deal. You're 21 years old. You're having a little premature ejaculation problem. Couldn't you just do some Tai Chi and biofeedback or something and work this out without the drugs and the injections?
I don't know. You know, I mean, if you can, Dr. Drew, if you could tell me what I could do, you know, maybe like a herb or something, I don't know, to last longer.
What can he do, Drew?
Adam, we normally give this same advice, so go ahead.
Oh, I see. Put the poster of the Hey Vern guy on the ceiling.
Oh, come on. He's not
oh, it's dead now. That's right.
That joke is not funny now.
It's terrible. Yeah, but it'll be good.
That's right.
I forgot. Well, that'll add another 10 minutes knowing he's in the ground. Ernest goes to hell, as my partner Jimmy said. Next thing you can do is masturbate and remove a bullet from the chamber so that the gun does not go off so quickly or
it's
in the holster.
Work it out with your partner.
That's right.
Really, really find it's a combo event. It's not a necessary event that happens just to Brian. What do we just out of curiosity? Let's hear how long he goes before he ejaculates.
Oh my God! Please, this is gonna get scary, Brian.
Yeah.
How long do you go before ejaculation?
Quick. I mean, it doesn't even last a minute sometimes, you know? And, I mean, it's real quick. Sometimes, like, 30 seconds, you know?
Drew, isn't there any kind of, like, numbing gel or something you can...
Yeah, couldn't you rub some coke on it when it
becomes... No, there are serotonin reuptake inhibitor medication. The Prozac and the Paxil and things can deliver.
All right, who should he speak to about this besides the Boston Clinic?
I would... It seems to me he's sort of running amok in the system. He needs a good general practitioner to help him sort of understand what is not appropriate management of this sort of thing. I would think if he's really going to be aggressive about this, he'd also have a psychiatrist who specializes in this area.
All right. When you say this area, you mean the groin.
Sexual dysfunction.
We will take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we're going to speak to... Joe thinks sperm comes out when he pees. We'll get to the bottom of Joe's problem after this. It is the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. He is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tomorrow's guest is 311. Tonight our guest is our old friend Chris Hardwick. Chris is... in a movie called Art House, which is which can be found at Hollywood Video. I am also in this movie.
Brilliant performance.
Between the two of us.
We're going to get an award or something.
I think I heard I sucked.
That's if I can do it, anyone can do it.
Mm. There you go. That's from my motivational tape series called Napping and Jacking Off to a Better You.
I was going to say Jerking to a Better You, but that's a much better title.
Thank you.
See, I could never take it. You know, boy, when I used to host the show, I just could never feel... You're just much funnier than I am. It kills me.
Well, that's true. But no, that isn't
true. It's entirely true.
Well, sorry. Chris is an actor now.
People call in and go, you suck. When's Corolla coming back? I'm like, weep, weep. You know,
those guys called? Good.
That was Adam Clark, Chris.
He called with my fake teenage angst voice. Chris ran out to his car and grabbed a flyer because he forgot he was in a play, which is coming up next week.
It's all about plugging, really. Just blind plugging. I'm not even going to segue into it or pretend, you know. Yeah, it's a play at the HBO Workspace at the Melrose Theater next Wednesday and Thursday.
And what is it called?
It's called Tales of a Bleepnik, directed by Mr. Phil LaMarr.
Phil LaMarr, I know from The Groundlings, and you may know as the black guy from Mad TV, although is Phil still there?
I don't know if he is or not. I don't know what's going on with the show.
Well, the show's still there. I'm trying to think if Phil's still doing it. But anyway, I've known him for many years. He's
great. Very funny.
And he's the now director, so you should go catch Chris again. Plug it one more time, Chris.
Tales of a Bleepnik, Melrose Theater, next Wednesday, next Thursday, 7:30 p.m.
That's true. Joe.
And go to drdrew.com.
Drew is silky smooth. You could have waited.
Hang on a second, Joe. Hold on, man. Was that Chris?
I said, and go to drdrew.com.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
As long as you throw his plug in, everything's cool.
You know what I love about Drew? If he'd waited another 0.3 seconds, he could have made a nice, smooth transition.
But he wanted us to know that we were inappropriately straying.
No, it wasn't about you, Chris. I know I've got to pick my opportunities and strike, because Adam, once he gets going,
he's very passive aggressive. Joe?
Yeah, I got two things. First,
the original question that you guys got. At first, I used to go to the bathroom. I'd go take a piss, and I couldn't finish, or I couldn't get feel like I finished, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And a little while back, I started, like, pushing it, trying to, you know, try to make myself feel fully relieved.
What do you mean, pushing it? He slapped himself on the ass. And
I forced it, you know, mentally or willingly or whatever.
You're straining to be more.
Strain, there you go.
What do you think he meant?
Well, what if you were doing something weird mechanically? Who knows what? All right, listen, I had to think of our callers.
All right.
Okay, yeah, so I was straining it. So when I started straining it, this was at the school bathroom, so I strain it and I look in and it looks like sperm that actually finally comes out at the end.
Are you sexually active?
Just lately, yes.
And does it hurt when you urinate?
Not really, no.
Adam, does it hurt when you urinate?
No.
Okay. Joe, and when you have to go, do you feel like you have to go all of a sudden? Like you have to go badly when you have to go?
Well, sometimes.
Hey. These are very tricky questions.
Hey, Joe, you ever auction off livestock? $100. Do I hear? Okay.
Boy, how do you turn a urination topic into an auction? That's brilliant.
Thank you very much.
I'm almost definitely sure it's not a sexual disease because I've only been with one person. I'm the same person, the same Joe that called a while ago about his girlfriend and the erection problem.
That's right. Regular Joe.
No.
Hey,
Joe with an erection problem before.
Hey, Drew?
Yeah.
You think there's could be some sort of a prostate problem?
Well, no, I think
it'd be or something.
Yeah, I think what he thinks is sperm is probably pus, and I think this business of not feeling like he finished evacuating his bladder is part of the irritation of the urethra. And he probably has urgency and hesitancy and all the usual stuff. He really does need to be looked at for this.
So he may. I had a friend of mine when I think he was like 18 or 19. He's pretty young. He got like a prostate infection, and it was the same stuff. And I don't know, he got on some antibiotics. And
Prostate doesn't usually cause pus or discharge, though. So.
Well, what would it be then? You think it was a...
Yeah. Non-gynecological urethritis, something like
there
that.
There you go. Got to get checked out. Marie?
Marie?
Hi.
You're 23. What's up?
Okay, I don't know exactly. This is going to sound so stupid. I was in a bookstore reading a book on, like, different kinds of psychological illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And my boyfriend, he's always teasing me that I'm schizophrenic because I'm, like, really, really sensitive and it doesn't take a lot to, like, make me cry. Or I can watch a commercial on TV and cry.
Yeah, that's called depression, right?
I do whenever I see that my 1-800 collect commercials. Very embarrassing.
Why don't you just cry into your pile of money?
That's right, jerk. No, I wipe my ass with a pile of money.
Another hundy? Big deal. Flush it.
That's right. Hey, Drew?
Yeah.
I'm a millionaire, literally a millionaire. I told you that?
Literally.
All right. So, Marie?
Yes.
That doesn't sound like schizophrenia. It just sounds like
cyclothymia or depression. Boy, you know what I can't stress enough to people is to not read medical encyclopedias. Do not read, if you don't think anything's wrong with you, because you could probably pick about half the things in any medical dictionary and go, but this is me. I have this.
Well, yeah.
Such a bad thing.
It's really the equivalent to sitting down with a psychic and having the psychic go, let me guess, so you're a very creative person?
Yeah.
And the job you have right now, that's not really fulfilling you creatively.
It's amazing.
Let me tell you something else I think about you, Chris. There's a side of you that you show the world. Then there's another side of you that other people don't know about.
You psychics are too good.
That's right. And obviously, if you start reading about something and anything sounds close,
it just sounds like she's anxietal and probably sensitive. You know?
Well, I'll tell you, we really sounds we find like you have everything that's in the book is when you read about personality disorders. Then that describes each and every one of us. You can apply any personality disorder to any person.
Well, listen, any of those tests, as we've talked about many times, like are you an alcoholic?
Right.
Have you ever gotten drunk and passed out? Yes. Have you ever vomited? Have you gotten sick? Yeah. You feel a drink helps you loosen up.
Everyone takes a shot before breakfast. It's no big deal, right?
I put it right in my cereal.
The point is you answer yes to 19 of the 22 questions, and then you read the back page and it says, if you'd answered yes to more than two questions. I mean, of course.
But Scientology can help.
That's right.
You see, and we experienced Drew's personality disorder not 5 minutes ago when he cut us off and yelled at us.
That's very true. All right, so what are we saying to Marie? She's fine?
She's fine.
There you go.
Well, I mean, she may be depressed, but she needs to get that evaluated, not go to medical textbooks and try to figure out what she has.
Schizophrenia is more like people are following me and...
Schizophrenia is a progressive disorder with hallucinations, visual, auditory, delusions.
And listen, if you're schizophrenic, you'll know it. I mean, you may not know it, but people around you will know it.
Oh, you didn't ask her if she's on any sort of, you know, if she's taking any drugs, like speed.
Who cares? All right. Drew's done helping, by the way. He was done about 18 months ago with that. Susie? There you go. See why he's done helping? Because the kids don't appreciate it. Julie?
Uh-huh.
You're 16?
Uh-huh.
What's up there, pumpkin head?
Well, the test, like, four years. I know it's going to sound really dumb, but I've been with a lot of people, and I can't get, like, aroused because I feel like I'm doing something wrong. I know I am because I'm young.
How many guys have you been with in the last 4 years?
Seven.
That's a decent vaginal clip, but not unheard of.
Good especially God, on that one.
Okay,
it was more of a trot than a clip.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Julie, what tell us more. Have these been good relationships? Are you good about what you've been doing?
A couple have been, like, older guys, but they haven't. I mean, it was me and him wanting to do that.
But has it been a positive experience, or are you starting to feel bad about yourself for engaging in all these relationships?
No, my friend, she's like, dude, you need to chill out on that. She's like, that's your life, but you need to, like, be careful.
How old are these guys, like the older guys?
One was 22 now.
When you were how old?
14 or 15.
Whoa.
Jesus. Isn't that against the law?
True.
Yeah.
You can take a red eye home and lock your daughter up.
Yeah. Almighty.
As it is, she's being raised in one of those dog cages.
But it's so weird. I can't really explain it, but...
Here's what's interesting, Julie. Why do you need to use arousal mechanisms as a way of sort of feeling good and regulating?
When I was trying to text my ex-boyfriend, Chris, he's the only one he could, like, get me off and I had an orgasm with. And the other guys are just like, oh, my God, ew, you know? It's like, I think of my dad, because my dad is just, it sounds so weird, but I can't, like, get aroused, and I can't get off on just...
Yeah, but why do you try, then? If you have all this unresolved guilt about your dad and about identifying with males through your dad, why do you go there?
Where is your dad?
He's in the next room.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, my dad...
A revolver at his temple. Actually, let me explain his position. He has a glass up against the wall, and there's a left ear against that, and then against his right ear is a Beretta.
Mm.
All right. Oh, for Christ's sake. There's something going on here.
Yeah, but it may not be out of control. I mean,
it's not wild out of control, but listen.
Seven partners at 16?
No, it's bad news what she's doing, but I think that she's sort of gotten herself into a pattern. I'm wondering if there's an addictive biology here operating that's really got the momentum going.
Don't you love guys, though? You know, if there's a horny 14-year-old out there, don't worry. There's a 23-year-old guy willing to climb right on top.
You bet.
No problem at all. Yeah.
But it's interesting how people use arousal as a way of regulating their internal worlds.
Right,
if you can't get aroused, it doesn't work for her.
Julie?
Huh?
You into drugs or booze or anything?
I used to be.
You
got some ass going on.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do acid all the time. I mean, like...
No,
Hey, Julie, can you just slow down a little bit? You're 16.
Yeah, I know. I have an older sister.
Oh, okay. Well, if you have an older sister, double up on the drugs and see if you can't get some sailors to come by and rape you. Okay? I didn't know you had an older sister.
But this is Julie, a different addiction. You got addiction in your family, huh?
Oh, wait a minute.
Julie.
Put her on hold. Julie?
Julie?
Huh?
You have addiction in your family, huh? Alcoholism.
No, not alcoholism. Well, yeah, my dad drinks a lot, and he'll bitch at me whenever, like, I don't...
This is the beginning of alcoholism.
I'll do a quick love line. Love line.
You have alcoholism in your family?
No, no, not alcoholism.
Or addiction, alcoholism?
No, no, not alcoholism. Yeah, my dad will drink a lot.
My dad used to do a lot of coke and spank me with his penis, but it's not really addiction.
Yeah.
But that's the way people think about it. They can't be objective about their lives. Like, is there addiction? Oh, you can't...
Oh,
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is it, yeah, oh, alcoholism, yeah, that's us, yeah.
That's
but
right.
They just don't put it in that context.
Some Dawson's Creek writer just made a character out of Julie. We're going to see it on the next season.
We will take ourselves a little break. When we come back, Drew.
Yeah.
Who will we speak to?
Ryan.
Ryan is 16 years old. Now the girlfriend took him back after cheating on her. He's bored. No, not the harder thing. All right, we're all going to yell at Ryan after this. Yes, Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Drew. Chris Hardwick is our guest tonight.
Yes.
Art House is the name of the film that he is in, and I'm also in this film, and you can find it exclusively at the Hollywood Videos, and you may go rent it or buy it or do whatever you like to it. I have not seen it, but I give it my full endorsement because I'm in it, and so is Chris.
Spank a loved one with a copy of the tape.
Drew is actually the only one that's not in this film. Also, Chris...
Thanks for writing, by the way.
Chris Hansen. I don't think he knew you at the time. Chris also is in a play coming up next week, Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yep.
Correct?
That's right.
Melrose.
Have I known you longer? Have I known you longer than Adam's known?
I think you have, actually. Because
yeah, that's what I thought.
The first time I did the show was when actually Reggie was still doing it.
Yeah, thank you. What was their little Jenny McCarthy problem?
What?
Didn't they send a car for her and she didn't
Who?
Come down?
Who? Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
Remember that girl, Jenny McCarthy, Drew?
What?
She used to be on Singled Out with Chris.
Is she on with you, Chris?
Well, I realized that my persona completely upstaged her, and I was on the cover of every...
You didn't know she existed. But
what happened to her?
She was a spunky little blonde. You remember her.
What happened to her? Where is she now?
She's doing movies now.
Doing movies.
Oh. She's doing movies now.
She's a big time, Drew. Come on. All right, and you want to hop back on the phone? Who are we going to speak to?
Is it Ryan?
Ryan,
yeah.
Ryan, you're 16.
What's up?
All right, so you cheated on your girlfriend.
Yeah.
She found out?
What?
She found out?
No, I cheated on her about a month ago.
She found out?
I told her.
She found out. And why did you tell her?
Well, because, like, we had been good friends before, and, like, it was... a messed up situation.
And you didn't want the cheating to ruin the friendship.
Yeah, because I knew, like, I wouldn't be able to, like, be friends with her afterwards if I didn't tell her.
There's some nobility in there somewhere.
No, right.
The thinking is all twisted up.
The point is, okay, forget it. He wanted out of the relationship.
Yes,
that's why he
exactly.
told her. And then he got weird and insecure when she broke up and wanted to get back in. But now he's back in. He's at the same place.
Break up with her.
All right, but now you went back out again.
Yeah.
No, that was bored. That was bored.
So listen. Ryan, here's what you do. Now you break up, and this time you mean it. You do it for good. That's it. You gotta be a man now.
I don't know if, like, I just not seeing her enough or what, but...
No. You didn't like her that much in the first place. You wouldn't have cheated and told her. You don't like her that much. You're not in love with her. You like her. You feel bad that she likes you and that you're hurting her. And that's why you have to break up with her and not puppet her around by yanking on her strings, all right?
Like, see her afterwards, or I don't like...
All right, then get married, you Nimrod.
He probably respects her a lot less because she got back together with him.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Lee?
Yeah.
You're 15.
Yeah.
Listen, don't call this show, ask for advice, and then argue with me. Not you, Lee. What's your problem?
Well... About a year, 2 years ago on Halloween, me and my mom were driving like 2 in the morning and we got pulled over and they found, like, I guess, coke in her car, and I found out that she was addicted to coke.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then she's been in a like a rehab program.
Mm-hmm.
And she's relapsed twice now. I found out yesterday she relapsed for the second time.
Mm-hmm. Did you participate in the program? Did you go to the family sessions and all?
Well, there was no family session. Well, I went to NA with her. You know, I went to NA meetings.
So why did you go with her?
Well, because at first I was very supportive and stuff. And
Lee, that's not the way to support an addict.
Okay.
You support an addict by doing your own codependency recovery. You let them take care of their disease and you take care of your component of it. You go to Al-Anon. You go to Alateen in your case. You do not go to a meeting with them. That's none of your business.
Well,
they can't do their work. They can't. She can't stand up and talk about the word as she's been doing it for some sitting right there.
She does.
No, boy.
Lee, no.
Even worse. Lee?
Don't go to those meetings with her. Not unless you're an addict also. Even then, you shouldn't go to the same meetings.
Listen, I wouldn't go to a carnival with my dad. It'd be too humiliating. I couldn't imagine going to a CA meeting.
You go to Alateen. That is your support for an addict. That is your job.
All right, well,
help her.
But I found out she had promised me, you know, left.
Yeah.
She wouldn't let you do it again.
Yeah, but Lee,
that's why you go to Alateen.
You got to go to Alateen, brother. I'm sorry for what she's doing to you. I'm sorry for what you have to go through. But your answers are at Alateen, not
sitting controlling her
pants
yeah.
and figuring out what she's doing. Oh, Jesus Christ. Could you imagine going to one of those places with your mom standing up and was like, yeah, I blew this Shriner last week just to get $30 so I could get another hit of crack.
A Shriner? You couldn't do better.
There you go.
Mom. Oh, my God. What is that car ride like?
Oh.
Hey, you know, the car ride home after the GA meetings. That's got to be golden. That is a Kodak moment right there. Liv?
Hi.
You're 19. You want to know if a boy can fall in love with you in 2 weeks?
Right on. But first, I want to say hi to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Oh, wow. Hi.
Howdy.
Drew, would you put the goddamn Torah down?
Pardon me?
Who's fumbling through all that paper back there?
Oh, my gosh. I'm in the bathroom.
Oh, that's you. Screwball.
Drew was reading Swank or something.
That's my hair. I don't know. I'm like.
Listen, put teen people down and get on the phone.
On the phone.
All right, you met a guy. He says he's in love. It's only been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I believe him.
You wow.
How old is he? These are the nice guys, the dependent guys. That...
Hold on, but okay, listen, fellas. All his roommates. He has two other roommates, and they're all really professional, and they're in sales. So they're naturally they know how to key in. They know how to listen. They have great listening skills. And...
All right. Who cares? Speaking of great listening skills,
that was excellent.
Yeah, they know how to key in. They know how to listen. Oh, who cares? Listen, he says he loves you. It's been 2 weeks. Why don't you believe him? And listen, everybody.
He's a salesman.
I hate to sound too jaded, but Chris, you'll back me up on this one. You get to fall in love an infinite amount of times in your life, so go ahead and use them up.
Over and over and over.
Yeah, so just go ahead and throw it out.
Love just comes prancing through the door.
Well, I mean, you get to say I love you to as many people as you feel like saying it to, so go right ahead.
I love you.
We'll be back after this. I love you, brother. All right, that is it, kiddies. I want to thank Chris Hardwick for coming in.
Thank you for having me back on.
Old friend, always good to see. And tell everyone to, I'd like to tell everyone, at least go out to Hollywood Video and rent Art House.
The Adam Carolla film.
That is
I got to see that.
Well, Drew, I have two copies here, and I'll give one to you tomorrow night. We'll
right.
see you in here with 311, okay?
All right.
All righty. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Back off, Hardwick. You're way out of line, buddy.
Well, now.
This is Love Line. The stuff expressed on Love Line is not necessarily the stuff of the staff, management, sponsors, or anyone else, including Westwood One Entertainment. Love Line is produced by Ann Wilkins and Gold. Now, please enjoy these birds.